As many of you will know, during this past week, our Archdeacon, Colin Williams, has been visiting Prague. He arrived on Tuesday night at the airport. I went to pick him up after our Bible study on Tuesday evening. On Wednesday, he had meetings with the church wardens, with Bishop-elect Pavel of the Old Catholic Church and with your church council. And then on Thursday, he and I travelled to Dresden to meet Frauenkirche before he went to Frankfurt and I came back this way. And he had two nights, Tuesday and Wednesday night, staying at the chaplaincy flat where I live, in the guest bedroom. And I'm sure that I and Sybil, who's now away, are not alone, that when we have somebody to visit, it prompts you to start making sure the flat or the house is clean. Sybil had a good go at the showers, the wash basins, the toilets, and I put the vacuum cleaner right through the place so that it was clean and ready for the one who was coming, the Venerable Colin Williams. In 28 days, we will once more celebrate the coming of the infant Jesus into our world. Many of you, I'm sure, will be getting ready not to be here in Prague, because I'd lose half my congregation, or more than half my congregation over this period, while many of you travel to be with your family and friends in your home communities. You get ready, you prepare. This year, it hasn't yet happened that Sybil and I have been asked if we're going anywhere for Christmas. It usually happens every year. In case you didn't know, we actually hold services here at Christmas, and I'm guaranteed that somebody will say it to us before the 25th of December. So today, yes, Advent begins, a season we should use to prepare, to get ready, prepare ourselves to be ready to celebrate the coming of Jesus into our world. For Advent comes from the Latin Adventus, which means coming. Today, especially, we are asked to focus on Jesus' promised second coming. Every week we say the creed. What do we say? He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. We say it. I often wonder whether we do really believe it. The idea is, of course, that we should reflect upon and be ready for Christ's second coming, and it is the emphasis of our Gospel reading this morning. What does Jesus say? Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. But Advent is meant to be a penitential season, rather like Lent. Some people sometimes call it a mini-Lent. You notice we don't sing the Gloria during Advent. We use purple to be the colour as we do during Lent. But Advent has two associated themes that come through our first two readings this morning. The contrast between darkness and light, and the idea of putting something on, which I'll try to explain both of those in the next part of this sermon. The reading from the prophecy of Isaiah speaks of the end of the darkness of war, with those famous words, which I think are in the United Nations building in New York. You can correct me if I'm wrong, about beating swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. But at the end, Isaiah says, let us walk in the light of the Lord. The contrast of the darkness of war and to walk in the light of the Lord. St. Paul, in that passage in Romans, tells people to wake from sleep. Now, normally, of course, people sleep at night when it's dark. And goes on to say, let us live honourably as in the day. And of course, the theme of our Advent collect is, Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armour of light, the contrast between darkness and light. And of course the words of the collect are very much based upon that reading from Romans, that Paul set up to the Romans. I do like the contrast in the language that's used. For the opposite of put on is not put off. Because if you put something off, it's very easy to put it back on again, isn't it? But we are to cast away the works of darkness. Like when ladies, if they can be persuaded to go through their wardrobe, the things that they no longer wear, they cast them away. Okay? They go hopefully to textile recycling or even into the bins at the back here at church. Yes, there is that contrast. Casting something away is never to be seen again. And so my question for all of you here at worship this morning on Advent Sunday is, what work or works of darkness do you need to cast away? What work or works of darkness do you need to cast away? So that I am, that you are, we are, ready to welcome Jesus at his first Advent, which we celebrate at Christmas, and are ready for his second Advent whenever it is to take place. And the follow-on question for Advent Sunday is, what armour of light, as it's described, however we might interpret the phrase, am I going to put on? Now I'm going to do a Jack Noonan and depart from my text for a moment, and also do a Jack Noonan and set you some homework. Those of you who heard Jack preach will know what I mean. I suggested last year for Advent, which had 24 days last year, because we began the year of Luke's Gospel, that you could try during Advent to read a chapter a day, and I know at least one person here who followed up on that and said how much he benefited from it. Today we've moved into year A of the lectionary cycle, when Matthew is the Gospel mainly featured, as it was this morning. How many chapters are there in Matthew's Gospel? We're all silent. 28 is the answer to the question. How many days are there in Advent this year? Four weeks. When I last went to school, 4, 7 to 28. How about a chapter a day of Matthew through the whole of Advent as part of your putting on of the armour of light? Scripture is so useful to defend against things that are wrong. When we have our first Sunday in Lent in early March, the reading about the temptation to Jesus in the wilderness, how does he respond to them? By just quoting Scripture. If we know our Scripture, we are much better able to fight against darkness. It's part of positive putting on the armour of light. I can compete with the opposition at the back. Right, back to the text of the sermon. Paul offers some help with regard to answering both of the questions I've just said. Paul does have a habit, as I'm sure you know, of making long lists of things, and we have a slightly shorter than normal long list here this morning. What are we not to do? Not in reveling or drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarrelling or jealousy. I'm sure the first four of those, none of us really are ever involved in. But what about the last two? How much quarrelling do you see on social media? How easy it is to be jealous of what somebody else has. The armour of light, as is described here, of course, Ephesians chapter 6, you have the whole armour of God, as St. Paul describes it. But here he tells us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we can't do it physically, but I believe what we can do is ask ourselves, which faced with a difficult situation, is the simple one, what do we think Jesus would do? How would he react to the situation I'm facing? How can I show forth the light of Christ in the darkness of this world? As I've said many times, there are both advantages and disadvantages of being in the situation we as the English-speaking Anglican congregation in Prague are, of not owning our own church building. For those who don't know, this doesn't belong to us. We pay a remarkably modest rent to our host, the main Czech Protestant church. But one delightful advantage of not owning our own church building, but renting it from our host, Česko-Bratrská Sekce Evangelické congregation, is we experience every Advent. This wonderful Advent ring, which appeared, in fact, was hanging here yesterday. Interestingly, this year we got white candles rather than red candles. What the reason for the change is, I don't know, unless it was the wedding yesterday. We inherited already set up and lit, and the only responsibility we have is to snuff out the candle, or later in Advent, candles at the end of our worship as we make the church safe and secure. But as each candle is lit during Advent, it does speak of the approaching light of Christ coming into our dark world. But as when I was cleaning the chaplaincy flat in advance of the visit of the Archdeacon, the increasing light shows up the dust, the cobwebs that get into interesting places that we would prefer, particularly the visitors, would not see. So the light of Christ shining into the corners, the dark corners of our lives, can also show up things which most of us would prefer were to remain hidden. But if we are to use Advent as it is meant to be used, as a time of spiritual preparation and self-examination to make us ready to welcome the incarnate Christ, we need to heed the words of St. Paul in Romans chapter 13 and incorporate it into our Advent collect, and be ready to cast away the works of darkness, to put on the armour of light, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so I'm going to end the sermon this morning by once more praying the Advent Collect. And let's hear a good loud Amen, if you agree with it, because Amen means so be it. I agree with what William said, so that we might prepare ourselves appropriately for this Advent. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armour of light, now in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to us in great humility, that on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty, to judge the living and the dead, we may rise to life immortal, through him who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.